The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is based on part of our epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, these words of the apostle are intended for comfort. When a person is greatly afflicted, when troubles of various kinds come to him, especially when a sickness has taken a firm hold upon him, a disease which baffles medical skill and wears out his life, so that there is no more joy for him upon this earth, the thought easily forms in his mind that nobody in the world is suffering as much as he is. He thinks that his case is beyond comparison, and that he would be happy if he could exchange his burden with that of any other sufferer. But if you find anyone afflicted in exactly the same way, labouring under exactly the same illness which is fastened upon you, or disabled by the same accident, or suffering under the same circumstances, you are convinced at once that your case is not an isolated one. And how your heart opens to the person who bears the same ailment with which you are so well acquainted. Your common suffering appears as a secret tie to bind you together with him, even though you don't know him personally. You find comfort in the thought that there is somebody else who is afflicted in the same way. Now the apostle says, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. There is a tie which binds Christians together with all their fellow Christians in the world, and that is, besides the tie of common faith, is the tie of common affliction. They are tempted in like manner, not indeed or by precisely the same temptations, for the tempter understands character and knows how to adapt and adjust his snares, but still in like manner. Their trials and afflictions are the same, and we should find comfort in the thought that we do not stand alone in our affliction, but that we have companions in misery who are our brethren, God's dear children, the same as we are. Still, this thought will give little comfort to an afflicted Christian if he is not strong in the faith. And in order that we might all be comforted, the apostle advises us to cast all our care upon God. So let us therefore today consider the question, why should we confidently cast all our care upon God? May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, let us look at what are the cares that come to us Christians. The apostle not merely advises us to cast all our care upon God, but he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now this shows that we are not to cast our care upon God in a haughty way, as some people seem to do, who act as though God must provide for them without their labour, or as though God must protect them, even though they recklessly expose themselves to danger. In true humility, we should cast our care upon God, humbling ourselves under his mighty hand, submitting to his ways, and confidently believing that in due time, he will deliver us from our troubles. And what are the cares that come to us Christians? There are, in the first place, cares of the body. When the hand of the Lord is heavy upon us, when we are cast down, held down, chastened, afflicted, and troubled in the body in various ways. Some people think that no cares whatever should come to Christians. They think that God should keep away from those who have put their trust in Him all those things which are hurtful to the body and cause cares or fill the mind with grief and sorrow. But this is a serious mistake. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. Does God spare to His children the common ills of mankind? Are they not afflicted with all those different diseases that the flesh is heir to? Must they not endure the sufferings of the present time? Are the Christians void of feeling? When they are stricken with a calamity, does it not hurt them? Does it not disturb the equilibrium of their minds and bring cares to them? Cares of the body therefore do come to the Christians as well as to other people. Christians certainly do have bodily cares. Is it not a care of the body when a Christian is stricken with illness, when a disease has fastened upon him which the doctors cannot heal, and when the thought worries him that he may never be relieved and that he must suffer the pains of his diseased body as long as he is in this life? Is it not a care of the body when a Christian has been disabled by an accident or when he has been deprived of one of the members of his body, and when with sadness he looks into the future before him and dreary thoughts fill his mind? Is it not a care of the body when a Christian must cope with poverty and want, when he is met with losses, when he is out of employment so that everything appears gloomy before him, and then he is tempted to say, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" Who could list all those temporal cares, all those specific bodily troubles which come to Christians as well as to others? And secondly, besides these cares of the body, there are also cares of the soul. To these cares of the soul, the apostle alludes when he says in our text, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith." We Christians have an adversary in the ruler of this world, an adversary who does all the harm which God permits him to inflict upon us, an adversary who thirsts after our blood and does all in his power to lead us into eternal ruin. He is after our immortal souls to devour them, to separate them from God of our salvation, and to lead them into eternal perdition. And to accomplish his end, he weighs down our souls with cares. Is it not a care of the soul caused by the devil when a Christian is tempted to disobey God, and when he does not stand firm in the hour of temptation, and when in consequence thereof his own conscience accuses him, and he feels troubled and exceedingly miserable, and no consolation will come to him? Is it not a care of the soul caused by the devil when, in consequence of endless misfortunes, a Christian is tempted to lose his trust in God? And when the thought comes to him that his prayers to God have been in vain and that the Heavenly Father pays no attention to him? Is it not a care of the soul caused by the devil when a Christian is tempted to sink into the pit of despair because of his sins, and the devil whispers into his ear and says, "You are cast away. Your sins are greater than can be forgiven. You have no part and no share with God's children. You are not a true believer in the Saviour Jesus Christ, and therefore his redemption is not for you." Are not these cares which come to our souls, these spiritual cares, so aggravating that it takes all the strength of a true living faith to resist the devil who causes them? Not to listen to his evil suggestions and insinuations, not to sink down beneath the burden, and not to give up in utter despair? So secondly, why should we cast these cares upon God? What should we do with these cares? We should confidently cast all our cares upon God. And why should we do so is shown in the second part of our text. Why Christians, we can cast all our care upon God. The apostle says, for he cares for you. He cares for us. Oh, if we Christians only realized at all times how merciful, how good and kind our Heavenly Father is to us for the sake of his own dear Son, who died for our transgressions and in whom we believe. Then, what quick work we would make of it with the cares that come to us. How instantly we would dispel them from our minds and banish them from our thoughts. We all know how useless it is to harbour cares, and that we do not better our condition in the least by caring, worrying, fretting, but that we only increase our misery thereby. Now God assures us that he has taken our care in his own hands, that he cares for us. Holy Scripture says in Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. As a good father cares for his dear child and looks out for it and procures for it all the necessities of life and protects it from danger and nurses it in illness and does all in his power to ensure its happiness, so likewise our Heavenly Father cares for us. God assures us, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And he promises us, saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He encourages us, saying in the prophecies of Isaiah, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Without the gracious and merciful will of God, not the slightest evil can come to us, and not even a hair shall drop from our heads. Now our Heavenly Father has promised to care for us and keeps his promise, and actually does care for us most tenderly, we must admit by our own experience. How confidently we should cast all our care upon God, how quickly we would be to dismiss from our minds every troublesome thought, and instead say, why should I worry? Why should I feel troubled? My Heavenly Father cares for me, and what I need fear as long as I am under his protecting care. Another reason why we should cast all our care upon God is because we can be sure of our welfare under his care, since he is both gracious and mighty. As to his grace, the apostle says, May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Our God, who has taken our care in his own hands, is the God of all grace. He will not deal with us according to his stern justice, and will not punish us for our evil deeds, but by Christ Jesus, he has called us to his eternal glory. His mercy is so great that for the sake of his dear Son who has redeemed us, he has promised us eternal life. Oh, how sure we can be then that he means well with us and that no real harm shall come to us under his care. If God does let trials and tribulations come to us, it is only for a little while that we must suffer. And these sufferings only serve to help us reach the goal of eternal glory, as the apostle says, to make us perfect, established, strengthen and settle us, that we might not lose the faith and not be damned with the unbelieving world. And finally, as to God's might, the apostle says, to him be the glory and the dominion for ever and ever. Our Heavenly Father is not willing only to do the best for us under his care, according to his grace, but he is also able to promote our welfare according to his might and power. Glory and dominion belong to him. He is the Almighty, with whom nothing is impossible. So we can be sure then that our trust in God shall not be in vain, that both in body and soul we shall be kept if God cares for us, that no evil shall befall us in the body, and that our adversary the devil shall not prevail against our soul. Therefore we can be sure and certain that both as the body and soul we are in safekeeping if we are in the Lord's hands. Let us not be so foolish then as to keep our cares with us and to harbour them and to be miserable, but cast all our cares upon God and be happy. To this end, may the Lord grant us his Holy Spirit and of his almighty power work in us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.